Here, Tisa. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. And if Councilmember Thomas would lead us in the pledge, I'll ask everybody to remove their cover and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Where's her? Oh, there it is.
I pledge allegiance
Allegiance to the flag of
of
the
the
United
United
States
States
of
of
America,
America.
and to the Republic, which stands one
One
nation
nation,
under God,
indivisible,
indivisible, with
with liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all. Thank you. Roll call.
Councilmember Davini.
Present.
Councilmember Davis.
Present.
Councilmember Fiebig.
Present.
Councilmember Mota.
Present.
Councilmember Thomas.
I'm here.
Councilmember Mulgrew. Councilmember Moore.
Present.
All council members are present.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. So if there's any item that is not on the agenda tonight, we have this is an opportunity for you to get up and speak. We'll approach the podium here. We'll turn up, make sure the mic's turned on. Everything in the room has to be recorded, so we always want to make sure we're speaking into the microphone. And then we'll go online. So we're going to end up going back and forth. So if you would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you can grab a speaker card after you're finished speaking if you haven't filled one out ahead of time. And do we have any speaker cards?
Yes, Alvin Pomnichowski.
Hello, I'm Alvin Pomnichowski, live in Castro Valley. Oh, sorry, right here. Live in Castro Valley, not very long, only about 15 years. Matter of fact, you represented the people that were selling their house to us. And I appreciate all you guys' service and everything. And I'm assuming that the cityhood proposal is not on the agenda. Is that correct? So I'll be speaking on that. Main question is, why? Why does Castro Valley need to be a city? I've seen the items and I've seen they even got the survey as to, so you'll be represented, your taxes, you'll be represented without tax. I'm already represented. Eric Swalwell, all the other people, the various elected officials, they already represent me. I don't need a city council. I don't need a mayor. I don't need a municipal police force. There's already a great school system. Fire department is taken care of. Sheriff is taken care of. Why do we need the extra expense? Do you think that's going to help sales, Tim, if people say, oh, you want to run a small business out of your house? There's going to be a city tax on that business, as well as a county tax and a state tax and a federal tax. Think that's going to make people go, yeah, I want to go to Castro Valley. I want to pay more taxes. I don't think it makes any sense. That's all I have to say.
If you would fill out a speaker card before you leave. Do you have one? Okay,
Yes.
great. Thank you.
Jen Pabst, Officer Pabst.
All right. Good afternoon, or good evening, rather. It's nice to see everybody. CHP's been very proactive in the community with traffic enforcement. For July, we issued 294 traffic citations. We arrested 10 DUI drivers. We had one felony arrest. Our injury crashes are about average. We had 21 and 30 non-injury crashes. We recovered one stolen vehicle, and that's not to count what the sheriff's office did as well. And then we had 23 vehicle storages. Some past events. The Castro Valley first day of school occurred on August 6th, and we just attended the restaurant walk, which was a good community outreach event. Ongoing enforcement, we created our new daytime crime suppression team, which I'll explain more about that when I'm on the agenda later on this year. And then today we conducted a special enforcement on vehicles running the stop signs at school bus stops. Within 20 minutes, about 20 minutes, we issued 5 citations. We just didn't have enough officers to stop all of the vehicles running the stop signs at the school buses, as well as the fast pace of trying to track down the school buses on the routes. With that, that brought light to an issue that we have. It's been an ongoing traffic complaint, and we plan to do more special enforcement operations like that in the future. Tomorrow, we have a pedestrian enforcement operation as well. It'll be out on Redwood Road, so I want to let everyone know that we are going to be out patrolling, and there will be a decoy officer who will be walking in the crosswalk. Let's see, we will be attending cruise night on August 23rd, and then we look forward to interacting with everyone at Fall Fest on September 6th and 7th. Our upcoming education, we have a Start Smart class on August 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at our office there in Hayward. You just have to go online to register your youth between the ages of 15 and 21. August is celebrating back to school month, so please be aware when you're driving in school zones to slow down, be alert for children and pedestrians as they will most likely be crossing the street. As always, I'm taking traffic complaints at 345-RecklessDriving@chp.ca.gov, or you can call our office during normal business hours, the 510-489-1500, to report a traffic complaint. And I just wanted to touch on Burger Island, as we're calling it, regarding all of, I've had several inquiries as to what we've noticed out there. The main thing that we have noticed is just the increase in traffic. We've been in a meeting with Public Works, and they have advised us of what they are going to advise you, that they've been monitoring it and conducting surveys to get the flow of traffic to improve. As for traffic crashes or increased citations, we have not, or excuse me, increased violations. We haven't seen an uptick in either of those as for that area. I know that's later on, but I just wanted to mention that if I have to go. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Officer Paps. We will put you on the schedule for the next meeting. So I'll ask Tona to get you on there if you don't mind. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Great. So the public knows that she will be here in a month and she'll answer questions. So, okay. Any item?
I have no more speakers for public comment.
No more speakers? Do we have any other speakers in the room? Sir? Please.
Daylighting, parking. So we all know that daylight parking is illegal as of the first of the year. If I call it in to the local sheriff, they tell me to call CHP. If I call CHP, they tell me to call 911. I live in President Drive, west side of Castro Valley, off Johns Drive, the area that basically gets neglected by Castro Valley and anybody else. That's the way I feel. The biggest problem, Johns Drive, right in front of Stanford Hospital. Cars park right there in the daylight spot all the time on the weekends for sale signs. And I see CHP, code enforcement vehicles, sheriff vehicles go by. Nobody stops. Nobody tickets it. That's one of your problems with that intersection, because that could be a right turning lane. It's not safe for anybody trying to cross the street in that area. We have lack of enforcement on parking. We have people in my area that park in the intersection overnight. We have people that park underneath no parking signs. You call it in, nobody enforces it. They tell you to call the 800, the recording line that only gets dealt with Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. It's a system that is broken. As a taxpayer here, been here 10 years, going to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, it didn't bother me. Now that I'm retired, it bothers me. It's not safe to walk in my neighborhood anymore. Too many delivery trucks, fire trucks. I'm dealing with right now, a neighbor across the street decided that wants to park in front of the driveway. It's been no parking for 50 years. Public Works doesn't want to do anything. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would fill out a speaker card, I'd much appreciate it. Thank you. Got it. Thank you. Do we have anybody online? Do we have any other speakers in the room for the public comment? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close this portion of the meeting to public comment and look for an approval of the minutes from July the 21st.
I move the approval of the minutes of July 21st.
I'll second it.
Any discussion or changes on the minutes? Okay, let's go ahead and have a roll call.
For approval of July 21st minutes, Councilmember Davini.
Aye.
Davis.
Aye.
Councilmember Fiebig.
Aye.
Councilmember Mota.
Aye.
Councilmember Thomas.
Aye.
Councilmember Mulgrew.
Aye.
Chair Moore.
Aye.
Approved.
Great. Okay, now we're going to move on to the presentation. This is an informational item from the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, fireworks suppression and operations update and review of the firework ordinance. I believe we have Captain Sean McMillan here. We want to see an ID.
Sig Sauer, that's my name.
Okay, if we don't have Captain Sean McMillan here, who do we have?
You have Sergeant Curtis Imperial from the Alameda County Sheriff's Office. I am in charge of our property crimes unit out of our Eden Township substation in San Leandro. Captain McMillan couldn't make it tonight. Usually we do this presentation in tandem, but tonight you're just stuck with me. So tonight I'll be talking about our ordinance that we want to try to put in place regarding fireworks and an update on our fireworks suppression that we did for this year, particularly during the 4th of July holiday. And let's see if it's working here. There you go. Whoops. It's going a little too fast. Yes, please. Is it just this back button that should control it? Okay, I'll keep giving it a try. So our mission is to mitigate the risk of injury, death by the use of illicit fireworks, minimize the risk of structure and vegetation fires, be proactive and go out there and do a zero tolerance approach when dealing with fireworks, and utilizing our EOD units, those are the guys that deal with bombs, to come out and safely dispose of any illicit fireworks we seize, and educating the public on current laws, safety procedures, and any current ordinances that we have going on in the county and from neighboring agencies. This year, we had 121 fireworks-related calls for service on 4th of July. That was a decrease from 150 from last year. This year, we had 5 felony arrests. That was prior to 4th of July. I'll go into the investigations that led up to those arrests. And then we had 3 misdemeanor arrests on the night of 4th of July where they were sighted in the field. We responded to 9 fires that were possibly related to fireworks in this unincorporated area where we were basically helping out Alco Fire with traffic and trying to figure out if buildings needed to be evacuated. And then overall, we seized about 1,500 pounds of illegal fireworks for destruction. This kind of gives you an idea of where these fires were at this year. On the north end of 238 and off of 580, this kind of near our station, we had 7 fires in Hayward and Castor Valley. We had one off Miramar. I think I have a picture of it coming up. In the Tri-Valley, we only had 3 calls for fires out there in unincorporated Livermore. One of the fires that we went to, that's the one on Miramar, the top left. The one on the right is a fire at an apartment complex off Liberty and San Leandro. And another brush fire we had along the railroad tracks off of Blossom and Meekland in Hayward. And this is kind of a breakdown of the calls for fireworks that we had by sector or by district for you guys. This is in San Lorenzo, we had 30. In Ashland, we had 18. Another 18 calls in Cherryland. We had 5 in Hayward Acres. 19 here in Castor Valley, this particular part of Castor Valley. On the eastern part of Castor Valley, we had 10. We also had 10 in Fairview and 2 up in Five Canyons. And then in Sunol, in the Pleasanton Livermore Sunol area, we did not have any calls for fireworks. So this year, our 4th of July operation, it included investigators, deputies from our crime reduction unit, our regular patrol deputies that are out there on a regular basis. And again, people from our EOD staff. It ran from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. We had multiple marked units. We had multiple unmarked units. And we had 2 trucks from EOD that were unmarked. And we basically just rolled around and we tried to identify who was using fireworks. We would stop them, seize them. If they needed to be educated, they would be educated or they would be cited and arrested. Again, we responded to calls of several fireworks and fires for that night. And we recovered over 150 pounds of fireworks for the night of 4th of July. And so what we basically did is we alleviated patrol units so they could handle other priority calls, such as the calls they normally go to, like domestic violence calls, robbery shootings, whatever, so they didn't have to go to these firework calls. And we also assisted them with those type of calls. So if anything was happening that was a major type of call, we would break from these firework calls because that would take priority and we would absolutely help them. And we would also help other neighboring agencies with any calls for service that they might have if they were short. We didn't this year, but the prior year we did have to help Hayward. I think last year they had like 4 homicides on 4th of July. So that took up a lot of their patrol resources. So we ended up having to go out there to help their agency. So some additional investigations we were doing specifically for 4th of July, my unit and the crime reduction unit, we conducted online investigations of illegal fireworks throughout Alameda County, unincorporated Alameda County. We took an early approach. We started in May through late June to plan these undercover buys, which is beneficial in order to reduce the amount of fireworks distributed throughout unincorporated Alameda County. Detectives used multiple social media platforms to gather intelligence and developed information for identifying these particular sellers online and to seize these quantities of fireworks. We also used patrol deputies who were going out to these calls before 4th of July, and they would forward any information to us regarding the areas where they were going, or if they stopped people during car stops, and if they had fireworks in their vehicles, they would forward that information to us for follow-up. Some of these investigations, this is one of them. This is our first one. This is back in May. We ended up executing a search warrant in the 300 block of North I Street in Livermore. We found somebody selling fireworks on the social media platform OfferUp. A detective made a deal with this person and set up a location to buy these fireworks in front of their house. When we came out, he ran from us. We caught him. And then we ended up executing the search warrant at his house. And we ended up seizing 258 pounds of fireworks and methamphetamine for sale. Then on July 1st, detectives found somebody selling fireworks on Craigslist, and again, made a deal to meet up with this person, met up with us. We detained him, executed a search warrant at his house, and we ended up with 132 pounds of fireworks, and we seized two illegal firearms. Here in Castro Valley, we found somebody selling fireworks on Facebook Marketplace. We found out where he was working. This particular detective wrote search warrants on his phone, was able to get a ping search warrant for his phone. So we just kind of basically tracked this guy. And then when we determined where he was going to be in a safe location, we detained him. And then we went back to his house, executed a search warrant in his shed, in a gardening shed, just actually right around the corner from here. He had 385 pounds of fireworks in his shed, and we seized over $9,000 in cash that was made from illegal fireworks transactions. Made it easy to figure out it was from fireworks because they're all in envelopes that said fireworks money. Then on July 3rd, again, somebody was selling fireworks on Facebook Marketplace. We again made a meet to meet up with this guy. And this is the biggest catch we had when we went in to do the search warrant. We ended up seizing 650 pounds of illegal fireworks. A lot of these fireworks that this guy had, they were fused together, which basically, according to our bomb squad, when they're fused together, when several of them are fused together, that basically makes them destructive devices, which is a heavier felony, basically. So a little bit more towards this ordinance. Back on June 14th of 23, the sheriff's office acknowledged concerns of the Fairview MAC regarding the use of fireworks. And we stated a team would research to see what could be done and that more information would follow. So this is all the information that is following 2 years later. So what we've been doing is we've been reviewing Alameda County fireworks ordinances with county partners in unincorporated Alameda County that rely on the state fire code and the health and safety code. We also collaborate with the Alameda County Fire Department, Hayward Fire Department, Fairview Fire Protection District, Office of the State Fire Marshal, and Alameda County Code Enforcement for additional understanding of identified gaps in local codes.
the Hayward Area Recreation Park District. We've also been working with them because they have several parks in our jurisdiction, such as Carlos B., and they have their own regulations of prohibiting fireworks in their parks. The penalties set forth in the Health and Safety Code or the Penal Code, which we already enforce, apply to all banned fireworks. So some of these other ordinances that we've been reviewing from other jurisdictions include Livermore, Contra Costa County, Hayward, and the City of Sacramento. This past year, these are the updated stats for them. Livermore did not issue too many citations. They only cited one person this past 4th of July. Contra Costa County cited one person. Hayward was a little bit more successful. They issued 35 citations, or they at least identified 35 properties. And the City of Sacramento, they utilized UAVs or drones to identify locations with multiple firework violations, which led up to at least $20,000 of fines in their city. So for these ordinances, and our ordinance would mirror kind of what they have, the ordinance makes the possession and use of fireworks, of dangerous fireworks, and safe and sane fireworks just all out illegal in unincorporated county. And the biggest part of this proposed ordinance is it would hold the property owner or the social host liable for those who allow the use and possession of fireworks and safe and sane fireworks at their properties, financially liable by citations or fines. So this whole process, there are several steps to this process. The Alameda County Fireworks, Social Host, or other similar ordinances apply to all unincorporated areas, including Ashland, Cherryland, here in Castor Valley, Fairview, Hayward Acres, San Lorenzo, Sinole, and East County Acres. Per the Board of Supervisors' direction, new ordinances or ordinance amendments affecting the unincorporated areas will go before the MACs for consideration, in addition to going to at least one Board of Supervisors committee, if not multiple, depending on the topic. Ordinance development has to have a lead agency, and in this case, it's us, the Sheriff's Office, to include input from any impacted agencies or departments, and all county ordinances must be approved as to form by the Office of County Council. And ultimately, any ordinance has to be approved by a majority of the Board of Supervisors, typically with two readings over two regular scheduled board meetings for adoption. And this entire process can take several weeks, several months to fully improve and implement. So that's why you didn't see anything this past 4th of July, where everybody's asking, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? It takes several weeks. We're hoping by next year, okay? And when I say by next year, by at least by next July 4th. Be great if I could have something before New Year's Eve. So what are we doing now in Alameda County? Detectives are still actively investigating illegal fireworks sales, possession, transportation of fireworks through online undercover profiles. We were doing that prior to 4th of July, like I was talking about, or whenever this information is developed on individuals who are in possession of illegal fireworks. My unit just basically deals with all the fireworks stuff. patrol deputies again. They respond to these calls, and then they forward that information to us. During the 4th of July holiday and New Year's Eve, our agency, ACSO, makes public announcements via social media, reminding the community that all fireworks are illegal in unincorporated Alameda County, and report any of that firework activity to our agency that is happening in your neighborhoods. And in addition to what we do, the Alameda County Fire Department, Hayward Fire Department, Fairview Fire Protection District, and Alameda Code Enforcement, they conduct inspections of properties to mitigate fire danger. So what you could do in the meantime, you could report any suspected fireworks activity to ACSO, to our dispatch line, 510-667-7721. Maintain and create a defensible space around your property, clearing dried brush, grass, trees, and other debris. Have a safety plan, exit route, and a disaster kit for your family in case of a natural disaster. Request your HOA boards to thoroughly inspect properties to potential fire hazards. Join local community emergency response teams or your CERT team in your neighborhoods to acquire skills to assist your family and neighbors during the disaster, and continue engagement with Alameda County and our agency on closing gaps and developing sustainable solutions. Some useful phone applications, if you don't have some of these already, this is where Captain McMillan comes in pretty handy because he has quite a few of these. He actually lives in fire country, so he could attest to pretty much all of these. Here, if you don't have this already, AC Alert is a great app. This app will alert you to any disasters or any emergencies here locally in Alameda County. Watch Duty, I believe that is also an app where they tell you specifically where fires are actively happening. Windy app, if there is an active fire, especially out here in the hills, this app will let you know which way the wind is blowing, how hard it's blowing, and other weather conditions. Flight radar, this is a app that tracks aircraft, and it also tracks all the CDF aircraft, the Cal Fire aircraft. So if you see where a fire is at, and then you'll see, you could click on the aircraft and it'll tell you basically the make, model, or, you know, whatever aircraft, and then it'll normally tell you it's from Cal Fire, and you could see where a lot of these fires are where a lot of these fire apparatuses are concentrating over the fire to give you an idea where the fire is at. And Broadcastify is another app where you could also obtain more information on emergency disasters. This is my unit, we're the property crimes unit. It's just me and two detectives. Well, just one detective right now. But if you have any questions, you could give us a call regarding any property related crimes or fireworks related issues, and we'll get back to you. But yeah, Detective Chris Vancott and Kristen Fagley are my two detectives. That's it.
Hey, okay, what we'll do here is we're going to go to public comment on the officer's presentation. It won't be a question and answer session, but certainly if you have any questions, we'll ask him to come back up and try to address them all at one time. What we'll do is you'll have an opportunity to speak for 3 minutes at the podium, fill out a speaker card, and we'll rotate back and forth between online and folks in the room. So do we have any speaker cards on this item?
I have no speaker cards for this item. I do have an online speaker.
Okay, let's go to the online speaker.
Caller, you're on the line. We're on item 6. You have 3 minutes.
Hello. Gary Slate, Castro Valley Eden Area Chamber of Commerce. We have heard a lot about this fireworks ordinance, and we've had a lot of support from both businesses and residents, both for the fear of fire in, you know, parts of the area, as well as some of the noise and other things caused by it, disturbances and stuff like that. So we just we're very excited to see this ordinance come to life. And, you know, we think by New Year's would be a great time to get it, but definitely, absolutely by the next 4th. That's all we got. Thank you, everybody. And thanks for all you do.
Do we have any speakers online? Do we have any speakers on this item in the room? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion and go to the council here. For comment. So we'll start down at Councilmember Davini.
Sergeant Curtis, can I get you to go back up?
Yep.
As you're walking up there, thanks for this fantastic presentation. I'm going to start my comments at the back of it. When do you anticipate the ordinance coming back before us?
Well, I'm hoping to just come back once it's completed. But if you'd like some type of update, you know, I could come back in like 3 months if one is not completed.
Just curious when you think you're going to have the first draft of the actual.
So I do have a couple working drafts as we speak. Again, this process takes a very long time because it has to be read through, or at least we have to meet with other stakeholders, such as like the Alameda County Fire Department, code enforcement, the boarding zone authority. So several other meetings. So I would say at least another 6 months, I would probably have more of a solidified, solid draft for sure.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for that. I know the Fairview MAC created a specific subcommittee for that, and
that's correct.
We'll let them bird dog that. I attended the meeting, and I'm sure they're going to be on that. I love the internet stings. That sounds like a very successful endeavor. I see there's been 4 or 5 major, you know, several hundred pound type of confiscations and arrests. So I applaud you for that. I would hope that that'd be a really cost effective way to take a lot of it off the streets. If people get scared to start using all the sites, then perhaps that's going to cut down on the sales. Going back to the night of last year, you had 121 calls. You had 5 felony arrests, 3 misdemeanor arrests. That leaves 113 unaccounted for calls. Of the 113 unaccounted for, I'm assuming a portion of those were just warnings. A lot of those were probably getaways, because by the time you guys roll, everybody scatters. Can you speak to?
Yes. So, sure. So with, I think we had about 6 or 7 cars out from Ashland all the way up here to Fairview in Castro Valley. And we would go from call to call, and we would certainly see these fireworks going off. By the time we would get from one location to another, they would stop by the time. And then when we would actually contact people who were lighting off fireworks, you know, there are many more fireworks going off right above our heads somewhere else nearby. But when you contact people, that takes time to do as quick of an investigation as you can. And usually by the time we get there, the fireworks that they are shooting off are
already all fired off, so there isn't really anything to confiscate. And they're usually pretty smart, being that they have the unused fireworks stashed away in a house or something. We get lucky every now and then and find some stashed away behind like a car tire, underneath a truck. But most of the time it's in a house. And with the lack of resources, the staff that night, with only 7 to 8 people, you know, we don't have time to go write a search warrant to get into somebody's house. It's going from one call to another, right, and trying to at least let our presence known that we're around. And I think that's what was a big drop in the fireworks calls this year, is because we were just basically going around in circles with our lights on. And then our patrol deputies helped out a lot. So they basically would on view fireworks going off and they'd shoot them up. And if it was, you know, a small quantity, it was basically just taking fireworks, educating people, because half the time it was given the excuse of, these are safe and sane. I thought, and they're not safe and sane. But even if the ones were safe and sane fireworks that we were encountering, we would give them the education that only safe and sane fireworks could be used in 3 particular cities here in Alameda County, and that would be Dublin, Newark, Union City. And if you buy them there, you have to use them there. You can't bring them here to unincorporated and shoot them off. But yeah, it was a lot of just running around in circles that night. And that's typically how it is. It's our goal is just to be seen and known that we are out there, we are enforcing, and we try to get to as many calls as we can.
Very good. Yeah, it's encouraging to see that the number of calls were actually down from 150 to 121. It's also encouraging to hear that you're not just relying on calls. You guys, I think you said you had 6 patrol cars out there looking for the fireworks. So you have both reported calls and stuff that you're observing. It seems anecdotally to me that firework use seems to be down, at least from the early days of the pandemic when it just went crazy, skyrocketed, for lack of a better word.
I think it's that, again, the proactivity that was going on that night. And I think, unfortunately, too, is that maybe I think some neighbors are just, they're used to this activity going on in their neighborhood, so they don't call as much as they used to, unfortunately.
All right. Well, thank you for the presentation and your service.
Welcome.
Councilwoman Moda.
Thank you for your presentation and your service. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm also interested. I'm interested on the timeline. You did mention 6 months or so, but you can have an update in 3 months as far as.
Sure. Yeah, I could.
Yep. Great. And will there be a public education campaign to inform like residents about the new social host liability rules if the ordinance is passed?
Yes. I would imagine, I haven't talked it over with Captain McMillan or Chris Smiley, but I would assume I haven't been experienced in drawing an ordinance in the past with my agency. This is the first time for me. But if we haven't in the past, then I would like to in the future, because it would only be fair for people to be aware of something they may be subject to being fined to if this does come to fruition. Yes.
Absolutely. That's great. Hopefully that piece will be kind of sorted out in the update, just to kind of view what that would look like by that time. And then I had a question. Maybe I don't know about the codes and things like that, but are the penalties for illegal firework usage that's maybe outlined in the new potential ordinance stricter than the penalties currently under the California Health and Safety Code or California Penal Code?
Monetarily, it would probably be a little bit heavier in people's pockets. Yes. So
okay.
Just from reading other ordinances and other jurisdictions, again, which we're probably going to probably mirror, is, you know, for the first fine, $750, second fine, $1,500, third fine, $3,000. Sacramento, city of Sacramento, I was talking to one of their fire captains, and they really lay it on them. And it's like, they'll do all three of those violations if they see multiple fireworks going off in one shoot over a property. So like that's how they got up to like $20,000 in fines in just a couple properties, I think. But the health and safety code is always going to overrule any, you know, county ordinance. So if we want to enforce taking somebody to jail, then we're going to enforce the health. I mean, if we end up coming up to a call, or if we encounter people shooting off fireworks and we see six hundred fifty pounds of fireworks in plain view, then that's something we're not going to give them a citation for they're probably going to go to jail for felony possession of fireworks.
Oh, that's good, because I see like full blown shows, right? And like, yeah. Wow, this is like you would get at the A's game or something, right? It's like huge. So I was just kind of seeing how you would tier that.
Yeah, it'll all depend on call to call and what we see when we get there.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Councilmember Thomas.
Thank you. Sergeant Imperial, thank you for being here.
Mr. Thomas.
Hello. Yeah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Dublin allows fireworks. It's legal to do it in Dublin. So what happens in the unincorporated area of Dublin? Is it legal? Because we border, Cache Valley borders some of Dublin, you know.
Yeah, like Schaefer Ranch and all that up there. So I believe Schaefer Ranch and all that, like the, from my understanding, is that is like those specific lines are the city of Dublin. I mean, it really has to be like in that scripted line, like outside, for it to be like, you know, on just south or just north to Eden Canyon to make it unincorporated. But if it's like happening in Schaefer Ranch area, then that's Dublin. That's city of Dublin. They could technically
with that a lot of people get confused with that. I mean, you know, they think they buy it from Dublin, they come into Cache Valley a little bit and think it's legal. So
so, you know, and I think that's something that should be educated at you know, I mean, of course the fireworks sellers aren't going to tell you that you have to shoot them off here because you're buying them here. They just want your money. They don't care where you shoot them off at. But, you know, I don't know too much of what kind of signage is going on in Dublin, but, you know, perhaps that would be helpful.
Yeah.
So it's something I could probably talk to our counterparts at the Dublin Police Department about.
Perfect. The second thing is, you seize a whole bunch of fireworks. What happens to it? Do you guys destroy it?
Yeah, so our EOD units, the bomb unit guys, the guys that you usually see, and they have a very, very dangerous job. They come out in these trucks, these big trucks that transport the fireworks back to a facility that we have, and they store them, and then they eventually destroy them. In a very safe manner, so up at our bomb range.
Thank you. And my last question is, we all try to be good neighbors, right? So, you know, a neighbor is popping up fireworks, and we call 510-667-7721, and then is it confidential, or that neighbor is going to know that we called?
No, you could tell the dispatcher that you want to remain anonymous, and we will respect that. We won't identify you at all, and you know, the call in the report.
Yeah, we all want to be good neighbors, right?
Right. But we understand the concern, and we understand that, you know, something like this would probably definitely cause riffraff between neighbors. So if you want to remain anonymous, and it doesn't even have to be just for fireworks, this is for any type of call, any type of criminal call, you could always remain anonymous and give us the information to help identify whoever's breaking the law, and we could help resolve the issue.
Thank you so much. That's all I have, and thank you for your service.
Welcome.
Okay, Councilmember Davis.
Thank you. And Sergeant, again, thank you for a phenomenal presentation. That was very enlightening. But even with this ordinance, I get the feeling that we're handing you a shovel and telling you to try to dig a hole in a swimming pool. And I mean, we have obviously several agencies here. Why are fireworks still legal in California?
Well, I think, you know, people love celebrating America, right? You know, I can't answer to why other counties allow fireworks or why some cities allow fireworks.
Has there ever been an effort to try to educate people as to the cost of law enforcement and fire departments out there trying to keep a handle on and keeping the community safe on these events?
Not that I know through my research, but that would definitely help. And part of this ordinance would be, you know, I could tell you for 4th of July, you know, several guys were working overtime, and so probably a lot of money went towards overtime. I don't know how much went towards fire, you know, how much money went to actually putting out these fires caused by fireworks. But an ordinance would definitely help mitigate the cause or the cost of some of those issues.
And we're seeing the larger venues even getting away from fireworks and going to drone shows.
Yeah.
Which are just as spectacular, it can be right. Just as patriotic as fireworks. But it just boggles my mind that we still allow even safe and sane fireworks to be in the tinderbox that we live in California.
Yeah, and it's you know, here in unincorporated Alameda County, we try to put the word out that if you want to light off those safe and sane fireworks, you know, you have to go to those three particular cities here in the county.
Well, I don't have any other questions, but again, thank you for your service and
welcome.
Fire and CHP and all the efforts they put out there to keep us safe during these times.
Councilmember Favor.
Thanks, Sergeant Imperial. Great job tonight. Appreciate you being here. It's crazy, these guys who are selling this stuff, that they do it right on social media, like all those sites. I mean, don't they know they're going to get caught? I would think, you know, it's crazy.
So they take the risk. A lot of times these fireworks are most of the time coming in from China, and, you know, through the barges or, you know, and then into Oakland or just straight in from wherever these people are getting them from. I don't know if the tariffs had anything to do with it, but the few of the guys that we caught this year that did give statements, they did say that they basically just went to Nevada, where it's completely legal to purchase fireworks. So they went to Pahrump, Nevada, right outside Las Vegas. There's a warehouse out there, and you could basically just pull up with your truck, and they will load how many pounds of fireworks you want. And then they just take that risk of driving it back into California, of not getting stopped. And then they definitely double their profits once they get back home. And if they're selling them, because everybody wants them, as you see going off on 4th of July.
Yeah, I went to Pleasant Hill and sat in a mall parking lot, and you could see illegal fireworks show from there. I mean, it was okay. It was off in a distance a little bit, and you saw all the fireworks, and it was enjoyable. And then driving back to Castro Valley, you know, I think the fireworks were actually better, you know, right off the freeway as I'm driving by, like, wow, look at that show going on right there in downtown, you know, San Leandro. Oh, look on that side, and another one. Wow, you know, and, oh, here's Castro Valley, boom, 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 and boom, boom, boom over there too, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, they were everywhere.
It's, yeah, throughout the East Bay, they're very prevalent. And it isn't just on 4th of July. I live across from the estuary, or down the freeway, and starting in mid-June, it's sounds like a war zone every night. So, and all the way past 4th of July. So it's just the way of living here in the East Bay.
With all this money being spent for illegal fireworks, I can remember back, it's been quite a few years, but attending the Hayward Airport fireworks show every year, and it was spectacular. Is there a way that we could take some money that, if we could divert people to go somewhere legally versus, you know, having it in their own backyard? Has that been tested, or is that a thought?
Not that I've heard about. I mean, that wouldn't be up to my agency. That's something for communities to probably get together and talk about. That's funny. Somebody from, I believe one of the board members from the Eden Mac kind of brought up the same comment, but that's something that, you know, your communities could talk with other, you know, community Mac members about, and, you know, then it would probably have to, again, all things would probably have to be sought through by, like, the Board of Supervisors and then, like, County Council, because of the risk of fire dangers. And we don't want to, you know, have, like, an ordinance. And, you know, and we could work things like that in an ordinance where, you know, certain things would be allowed. You know, if you want to have pyrotechnic things, then it could be allowed only by these people that are certified. But and those things could always be amended if we were to ever, you know, come up with a event like that.
Okay, thank you. Another question. You know, I'm in the real estate business, and for years, you know, it was always, you know, if these fireworks go up, then they come down and land on a shake roof. It could, you know, destroy the house through fire. And I know we're getting away from shake roofs. There's probably not a lot of them out there anymore. Are we seeing houses being burned from, you know, them landing on roofs, or are we seeing trees caught fire, or is it the shrubs and things like that?
Through my years working 4th of July, I've only mainly seen brush and, you know, open fields, or not open fields, but bushes like you saw in the slides, like very close to apartment complexes. The fire department could probably answer a little bit better to that of what they've actually seen. Because they go to a lot more fires outside of our jurisdiction, like in the city of San Leandro, Union City. So I'm sure they've see a lot more structure fires from fireworks than we do.
Okay. Well, that's it for me. Thank you, Sergeant Imperial.
You're welcome.
Great presentation. Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Mulgrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Sergeant Imperial. Appreciate everything. Echo the thanks of the council here. The two issues that I hear as a MAC member that I hear more often and more loudly about, the two things are unlicensed street vendors and fireworks. And the fireworks every year get beat up about that. So strongly support your efforts and the efforts of the department to get an ordinance in place. And as you mentioned, the fireworks in my neighborhood in Castro Valley start a couple of weeks ahead of time and go on, you know, through the weekend after the 4th of July. Does the department track calls or complaints during the time period outside of the 4th of
July?
We
do. So, that particular presentation I gave you with the slides, that was just for 4th of July. Right. But if I was to ask, like, our analysts to put together a slide of all the fireworks starting from June to, you know, mid July, they could do that for me. Yes.
Next time you come, could you bring that information? Do you
sure.
think?
Sure. Okay. Yes.
And maybe include New Year's.
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 The fires that you referenced, that you showed in your presentation, do those track exactly with Alameda County Fire Department, or might they have
it? Could, yeah, or whichever agency Because I think one, for some reason, it was showing like San Ramon. So it might, but it should, because we normally don't go out right. for the fires and fight fires. We're there just for traffic reasons and to help evacuate citizens if there needs to be an evacuation. But yeah, perfect. if there's a fire, normally a fire department is called.
Gotcha. Thank you. That's all the questions I have. I just want to say that it seems, based on your presentation and what other folks have said, that the key is prevention, you know, keeping the fireworks out of the hands of people who are going to buy them. And what I heard you say is you had 6 cars dedicated to fireworks on the 4th of July. And that's an awful lot of territory for 6 cars to.
It is. It was a lot of driving back and forth from San Lorenzo up to, Green Ridge.
Right.
And then up to,
yep.
Fairview and then back. The majority of our time was spent in Cherryland and San Lorenzo because that place was a lot busier with active fireworks going off. It's just very difficult because a lot of those driveways are very long, and so by the time you figure out which driveway they're being shot off at, everybody's inside.
Understand. But for me, it brings up the question of, if the ordinance sees the light of day and passes, has the department talked about how you're going to resource enforcement? Is it going to be the same level as it was this year? Will it be stepped up to?
I would hope there would be, a few more people helping out. And that's 4th of July, people are, just cops are like everybody else. They're on vacation. And so it is hard to find staffing. But this would be, this ordinance would be at the hands of, or at the disposal of our patrol deputies who are out here all the time. The guys you see driving the blue cars, the guys and women driving the blue cars around. So they will be able to enforce this ordinance at any time. And they're usually our first line of defenders.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That's all I had, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for being here. I just have a couple of questions and a kind of a comment. When you said in the ordinance that landowners will be held liable, does that mean if someone's renting a place and the person who owns it will be held liable for it?
They could, yes. And so we could. So if we can't find the person that's leasing or renting the property, then we'll probably have to do the research to see who is the property owner of that particular parcel. And then that person will get the fine and they're gonna have to work it out with their renter on who's gonna pay this. But if we make contact with the people as they're shooting them off, or if we identify the people as the fireworks are being shot off, and we talk to people and we find out, okay, who's the owner of this house, who's in charge of this property, then if they are there and if they say, okay, well, yeah, I rent this place, okay, well, you're hosting this party, you're going to be the one responsible for receiving this ordinance.
Yeah, I hear that, and I'm wondering, is that defensible? And has county council reviewed your ordinance?
Not yet. So they will read some of these drafts as we go along, and so they will be giving us insight. And so for little things like that, they're going to have to fine touch those particular items like that, so we could have that stuff in place if and when it happens.
When you review, this draft, was this drafted from the sheriff's department or from?
It's drafted from myself and then the guy that was in my position 3 months ago before I got here. So for 2 years, so back on June 14th, 2023, he took this over, but a lot of things have happened since then. And it kind of got, sidetracked and, it's been brought to the forefront again. And so after he promoted and I took over, now I'm the guy. And so with the draft that he had and a draft that I've been working on, I've basically have just combined the two, and I've just been adding what I see from other county ordinances and just kind of morphing it into something that I think is reasonable, but it isn't up to me. Again, it has to be.
Right. And I was just wondering, you know, where did this ordinance come from? Usually you don't find an ordinance drafted by the sheriff's department.
So we have drafted ordinances like the sideshow ordinance. Yeah. You know, we've drafted that. And then we've also drafted a social host ordinance with alcohol. So a lot of my draft comes a lot from the social host, like the verbiage comes a lot from the social host, but of course the main verbiage is fireworks now.
I mean, very interested to see what county council does to it before it comes back. You know, people confuse when they say fireworks, you know, with bottle rockets and firecrackers and all the other things versus some safe and sane stuff that a lot of the communities allow. I find it disturbing that this particular community can't be smart enough to not cause these problems when other communities like Dublin are doing fireworks. I don't know what the problem is, but with that. And the fireworks that explode, they certainly raise hell with the dogs and cats and stuff in the neighborhood. So we certainly don't want any of that, period.
Right.
And but then again, I see a celebration of America and the 4th of July being a real big deal. And I'd hate to diffuse that by being overreaching a little bit. If we're going to do this thing, I would really encourage the county to step up and have a first-class fireworks show to substitute, and maybe we wouldn't have as many of these illegal fireworks programs. I know at the fairgrounds, we put up an amazing fireworks show.
Yeah.
And it would be great, you know, to see more people come to that and not do these illegal fireworks. I'm completely supportive of it. I live on a ranch, and we certainly don't want a fire. But then again, I look at this, and I'm thinking, geez, you know, how do you not kill the 4th of July?
Right.
And make it a celebration of America. And I just think if we're going to take it away, we need to substitute something better.
Sure, there's definitely a good balance that needs to be considered.
So, like that. You know, you presented a couple apps that were very interesting. The fire app where you identified the fires?
I believe Watch Duty. Yeah, Captain McMillan has a little bit more info on that. But go ahead.
Well, that's an important app if you live in the unincorporated canyon lands. And we had the emergency services here a couple weeks ago or a month or so ago, and they didn't present any of that. So I'm just wondering how broader some of these apps within the county in itself. It would be nice to know, and particularly the unincorporated canyon lands, so many of them don't have cell reception.
Right.
So, you know, these apps that you showed up there are crucially important for our ranchers and farmers. How do we, you know, get with the different departments and get maybe that a broader reach to where these folks know what's going on?
Well, you could always, you know, contact us, and then we could tell you directly, you know, where and how to download the apps. And like I said, Captain McMillan, I think a couple other guys that do live up north in fire country, they probably have even more apps. And that's just from their personal experience, because I know Captain McMillan, he came very close to losing his house in a couple fires. And so he is very dedicated to these apps. But you know, anybody could give us a call through the numbers that I gave you, and we would be happy to provide you with that information, or at least refer you to other people that know more apps and how to download the apps and what those apps provide in particular.
I think the apps are great, and if there's a way that we could get these apps more more known out there, would be great.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'll give you my phone before it's over, and you can load mine for me. Anyway, thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Taking this to heart and doing something with it, and we do appreciate it. So, great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. And the next item is a presentation from Valerie Arkin. It is to do with a discussion on a draft ordinance establishing the unincorporated Alameda County County Pedestrian, Bicycle, and Trails Advisory Commission. This is an action item. So, thank you.
Set up here. Oh, no. No, I can't get up. Okay. I think that's good. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Valerie Arkin, and I'm a supervisor's assistant with Supervisor Nate Miley's office. And I'm here tonight to present a proposed draft ordinance for a pedestrian, bicycle, and trails advisory commission for the unincorporated areas of Alameda County. I'm seeking feedback on this proposed commission and will incorporate that into the final draft that will eventually go to the Board of Supervisors for approval. So this agenda item includes the staff report and the draft ordinance, so hopefully you've all had a chance to look at that ahead of time. So just to give some background information on this, the current unincorporated Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee was formed back in 2020 to provide engagement and feedback from constituents on bicycle and pedestrian issues of safety, access, and promotion of alternate modes of transportation. Their duties have included providing input and feedback for funding applications like grants, projects related to streets, bike lanes, sidewalks, safety improvements, and more. Plus, one of the main duties was giving input on the bicycle and pedestrian master plan. So Supervisor Miley proposes establishing a formal commission, which will advise the Board of Supervisors directly versus advising Public Works. And just to note, this commission will take the place of the current committee. This will allow for community member empowerment, as there will be more opportunity for them to set the agenda within the scope and authority, of course, of the commission. So this will result in looking at all issues related to pedestrian, bicycle, and trails, and not just select issues. So there will be definitive appointments by the Board of Supervisors with term limits on this, and an update to the bike pedestrian master plan will be coming soon. So this commission will have an active role with input on that update. As previously noted, the addition of trails was also added to this commission, as that is another important subject area for this commission to consider. And multimodal transportation is a priority. So for all those reasons mentioned, this is why we're coming forward with this proposal. And just one added note, the MACs will still have all of their authority. This commission will be similar to how other advisory bodies work with the MACs. So one example would be like the Parks and Recreation and Historical Commission. So similar to that. It will likely go to the commission first, any issue, and then their recommendations would come to the MACs. So regarding the actual duties of this commission, members would serve as the representation of the unincorporated areas of Alameda County. So that includes Castro Valley, Ashland, Cherryland, Fairview, San Lorenzo, Hayward Acres, the part of Pleasanton that is unincorporated, and part of Livermore that's unincorporated. So as I mentioned earlier, members would provide feedback related to these issues with pedestrian, bike, and trails, more things, projects, improvements, and again, the primary goal input on the bicycle pedestrian master plan. Members may also work with other county departments, such as, you know, like the community development agency or the sheriffs, for instance. So regarding the structure of the commission, It'll consist of a 7-member body, 4 members from District 4, 2 members from District 3, and 1 member from District 1. And this is appropriate with the population in each district as depicted in the table included in the staff report. So, and I just want to emphasize, this advisory commission is for the unincorporated areas of Alameda County, and those 3 districts are the ones who have unincorporated areas within their district. So each member of the commission must either reside in the unincorporated area of the respective district, or they could work at or own or operate a business in that unincorporated area for a minimum of 5 years. Or another qualification could be working at a public agency that serves that unincorporated area. So that would be like maybe AC Transit or BART, for instance. So regarding the budget and some other specifics, the meetings will be quarterly and held at the Community Development Agency's public hearing room the third Thursday of the month. There will be a maximum of 12 meetings annually with an additional maximum of 2 special meetings annually for a total maximum of 14 meetings annually. But again, we're starting out with the meetings being quarterly. Members will be paid a stipend of $50 per meeting, not to exceed 2 meetings per month, in addition to any reasonable and necessary commission expenses. The actual staff support will be by Alameda County Public Works Department with Board of Supervisor District 4 office assisting with the agenda, materials, and admin support as needed. More descriptive budget information is included in the staff report. Additionally, attachments were included on the staff report related to the maps of the districts that encompass the unincorporated area of the county, as well as the actual draft ordinance itself. So, as stated earlier, I'm here to listen, and as this is an action item for all of you, I'll take that feedback, which will be considered in the final draft that will be presented to the Board of Supervisors. So, thank you for your time and engagement on the issue. And I can stand up here to answer any questions at this time, or would you rather me come back up if needed?
What I'll ask you to do is just take a seat for a minute. We'll go to public comment. We'll Perfect. Give you an opportunity to try to address some of the public comments back in it so we don't end up with a question and answer session between the internet or people at home and people in the room. And then we'll go to the council here for questions. But
okay.
It's okay.
Sounds great. Okay.
So,
thank you.
We have any speaker cards on this item?
I have no speaker cards, but I do have an online speaker.
No public comment for that. So do we have anybody online?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and go online. We'll go back and forth between the rooms. So if somebody changes their mind and would like to speak. So let's go online first.
Caller, you're on the line. We're on item 7. You have 3 minutes. Lenise Ross. Unmute your microphone. Lenise Ross?
This is a mistake. I didn't need anything.
Okay. Thank you. Caller, you're on the line. You have 3 minutes. Bruce Castro Valley.
Hello. This is Bruce Toogie. I would like to thank you for the presentation. And I support absolutely this idea of a commission. This is something that Supervisor Miley has talked about for quite a few years. So it's great to see it finally taking off a little bit here. I think that that will be helpful in implementing, the bike ped plan. And there's a new one coming up. And so that commission would be involved in the bike ped plan that's coming up. I'm a present member of the BPAC. And so I think this is a fantastic idea, and I'm really grateful to hear about it. Thank you.
We have anybody in the room? We'll go back to the online.
I have no additional speakers for this item.
Okay. No speakers in the room, no speakers online. I'm going to close the public portion of this and go to the council for a comment. We'll start down at Councilmember Davis.
I have no comments.
Councilmember Freeberg.
No comments.
Councilmember Devaney.
I'm going to take all of their comments because I have a lot. Sorry in advance. Alameda County currently has 100 exactly boards, committees, commissions, authorities, and districts. I had to count it twice and had my wife count it a third time. There it's exactly 100. And I think that's how many we should have, not 101. We already have an unincorporated area bicycle pedestrian advisory committee that reports to the director of public works. They have meetings, they have minutes, they have transcripts, they have advocacy. And believe me, their position is represented on all infrastructure items that take place. I don't think we need a separate commission. I think that the separate commission might be at odds with the various MACs, might be at odds with the Castro Valley General Plan, the downtown specific plan. So it seems like it's their advocacy is fantastic. They have a forum to do that, and I think it's appropriate to restrict it to within public works. We've had two examples here in Castro Valley where there's perhaps been at loggerheads with the MAC, one of them on Somerset, which went against the bike advisory committee, and I think public works did a fantastic job of holding their ground and not giving up all that off-street parking for those citizens there. And of course, the other one has to do with East Castro Valley Boulevard. I would like these items to come before all of the various MACs. We're well practiced at hearing testimony, considering all the various interests that are involved in our infrastructure improvements. And so if we needed a separate body other than, I mean, they're where they should be right now at Public Works, but if we wanted them as part of an advisory committee to the MACs, I could almost see a structure that's not before us tonight. I'm not going to try to recraft that, but I could almost see permanent standing subcommittees on each of the four MACs addressing that. But I would not be in favor of a separate commission over and beyond what they have already.
Okay, Councilmember Mota.
No comment.
Councilmember Thomas.
Thank you for your presentation. What is the plan for this commission? When is it supposed to start, and what is the timeline on this?
The timeline, well, right now I'm presenting at each of the MACs. I did Eden Area last week, and the Sunol Community Advisory Council will be this week as well. And then early September, I'll be presenting to Fairview. It will probably come back to the Unincorporated Services Committee. That's probably going to be early October. And after that, all of the input will be considered and put together in a final draft that will go to the Board of Supervisors. So depending on how full their agendas are, it's sometimes hard to get things on the agenda. And then it will be two readings they will have to do, assuming it would go forward. After that, of course, they have to, recruit for members, pick the members, get all that in place. So I think probably a fair estimate would be late winter, early spring, before it's actually in place and they start to meet.
As my co-council member Devaney said, there are subcommittees and all the other committees out there. So can a MAC member or one of these subcommittee members be a part of this commission? I'm reading this, I'm a little confused, the guidelines.
I think, well, with the qualifications of, what somebody has to qualify to be, to apply, you have to be a resident of the unincorporated area or work or own or operate a business in the unincorporated area for a minimum of 5 years or work at a public agency that serves that unincorporated area. So as long as you meet those guidelines, I believe you can apply, anybody can apply if they wish.
Got it. Thank you.
little bit of clarity on that from Tona. I think she's online. I don't think you can serve on two commissions.
Hi, Chuck. We would need to check with council since they're both be Brown Act commissions and get back to everybody with that answer, that formal answer.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Vice Chair Mogart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Valerie, for being here and working this. Cut to the chase, I'm with Councilmember DeVinny. This feels, again, like too much government, too much chance for creating consternation at the board. We have the BPAC that's been in existence, and that BPAC has worked with Public Works to get funding under the MTC resolution 4108. I don't know why we need a different body. I mean, if I read the MTC guidelines and it says that the body needs to be appointed, well, why can't we just appoint to the BPAC and have it continue to work with Public Works? I don't see the problem with that. So much of the bike pedestrian trail plan implementation involves land use issues. And we have bodies that work land use issues in the unincorporated area, the MACs, obviously, the Planning Commission, the BZA. I don't see why for land use issues that those bodies would be unconsidered and taken out of the loop, so to speak. So that's my feelings on the ordinance itself. I mean, on the wisdom of having an ordinance. As to the draft, I think on section 020, if this is going to go forward, it needs to reference that works closely with the Public Works Planning and other county departments. I would add the Municipal Advisory Councils and the Planning Commission. Section 030, membership and terms. To me, having someone be a part of a commission that only works in the community, does not live here, does not own a business, that's not enough skin in the game. It's too easy to do flyovers, so to speak. People need to be residents or business owners. As far as meetings go, section 040, if this board of shall consult with the board of supervisors as that board or commission may request, I think it would be wise to have the board suggest that any commission first come through the municipal advisory councils or the planning commission before coming to the board. That way we at least have a somewhat filtered and unified position. All I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie. I appreciate you coming here. I was surprised to hear we have 100 commissions. Are they all full? No. No, don't start on that. It concerns me a little bit when they circumvent and don't go through the MAC. As Councilmember Mulgrey mentioned, that 2.136-.020, item C clearly exempts from coming to the MAC. It's not mentioned, which means that not much concern about making sure that the community has an opportunity to weigh in on some of these items, because this is really a land use meeting. We meet once a month or twice a month on land use, and a general purpose meeting once a month. And it seemed like to me, if there was something that wanted that happen in our particular area, that it would come and be discussed here with the public. And not in a private meeting or in a meeting at the public works office or any other office. It is a land use, and I can just go back quickly to the bicycle lane that was put in on Castro Valley Boulevard, removed roughly 22 parking stalls, I believe. Was it better than 22? Yes. And those are businesses that were, several of them were given a conditional use permit or granted the build there, particularly right on the corner over here. They have no parking. And so the landlord's going to try to rent those retail spaces out with no place for anybody to park. That didn't come to the MAC ahead of time. Public Works took it upon themselves to do that work. That's very concerning here, because if you listen to the public, as we do, day in and day out, the number one issue that comes up time after time is parking in Castro Valley. It is a nightmare when you sit down and you try to do some planning in this community because we don't have parking. It concerns me when you're a retailer, and I spent 40 years, matter of fact, 30 years ago, I was managed this Lucky Store here. And I really cherished when a guy or a gal pulled up in a truck or a car and loaded the trunk full of groceries. I didn't get the same feeling when somebody rode in on a bicycle and took home a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. I really think that an agenda-driven organization for bicycle, well-deserved. I mean, I love the fact that you can ride a bike and have places to ride. But I don't want to see a commission created that is agenda-driven from the standpoint it could take away parking from our retailers that we desperately need. And so without it coming to the MAC for any kind of approval or stamp or endorsement, I could not support the way this ordinance is drafted currently at all. I would hope that it would go back and be relooked at and come back to us at some point in the future. Is that an opportunity for us?
What I am doing is just taking all of the input and bringing that forward. And then eventually the Board of Supervisors will decide on what to do. But if I could address a couple of your things. So again, this is an advisory commission, so they can't make changes in and of themselves to do any sort of, you know, as you, I know, realize. The reason it would go to a commission first before coming to the MAC, for instance, of a recommendation of something maybe similar to what you just described. On this bike, ped, and trails commission, the desire would be to get people on that commission that, you know, are avid users of our trails, are, you know, are cyclists, or maybe they bike to work. And I'll tie that in with the comment about somebody only working in the area. That's why we did put a minimum of 5 years they had to work in the area that they're going to represent, because they could, maybe they bike to work and they've biked to work for 5 years or more. So they would be a user of the system. And that would be the desire of what the makeup of this commission would be. People that kind of have a lot invested in bicycle, pedestrian trails issues and users of the system. So getting that input first, then MAC hearing, you know, what they, what their input is on a particular issue, is kind of more of the process that would make sense. So that was really the reason for that and why it would go to them first.
Right. I believe we already have a venue for that currently, and they work with Public Works on it, and then it would come to the MAC for us to hear it and talk to the community. That's already in play. It's not a commission. Commissions would circumvent this body here and go right to the Board of Supervisors, because they're an advisory body to the Board of Supervisors. So unless it would come before the community here, I would have a hard time supporting this, because I firmly believe that this body needs to hear what's going on. And matter of fact, there's a lot more to it than that. But, you know, the e-bikes have really changed the complexity of bicycles. You probably don't see it here on this side of the hill, but if you head over to San Ramon, they're on sidewalks, they're in the streets, they're everywhere. And you don't see it here quite as much. And then, you know, I would like to see us, even if we get down to this bicycle deal, is after we stripe a road and create a bicycle lane, that we come back and we look at it and say, how many bikes are riding in this for the parking that we just gave up? I mean, I look out right now, first off, not many people riding the bikes in the rain. And I look out and I see the lane that we just put on Castro Valley Boulevard. And I come here frequently. I'm in and out of town all the time. I've counted 2 bikes on this road in the last 3 months. And yet we don't have any conversations about, once those lanes are painted, what we're doing about it. And I would get very concerned that without it coming to this body here, they might not know that we just granted a project that relied on the parking in front of it. I mean, the poor guy that has, or gal that has the burrito shop down there. I mean, there is no parking. And in my concern is, if you create a commission, this land use may be overlooked, and because they're not going to have the whole picture of the community. And I really care about this community. And I know that we're going to have several appointees on this would be from other communities, but this is my community. So I have a hard time supporting this going forward. That's all I have to say about it. It is an action item. So I am going to, do we have any other comments from the council? So I am going to ask somebody for a motion to either amend this or move it forward, or ask something here. Councilmember Mulgrew or Devaney?
I'd like the board to entertain a motion that the CVMAC recommends against the adoption of this proposed ordinance establishing the County Pedestrian, Bicycle, and Trail Commission. Okay. I would like to propose a motion that the CVMAC recommends against the adoption of the proposed ordinance establishing the County Pedestrian, Bicycle, and Trail Commission.
I'll second that.
We have a first and a second. Do we have any discussion on that? Okay. First, second, let's call for roll.
Councilmember Devaney?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Fiebig?
Aye.
Councilmember Mota?
Aye.
Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Mulgrew?
Aye.
Chair Moore?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to move on to the next item, which happens to be, I think, a hot topic for anybody that has been around Burger Island. And we have Public Works here to give us an update on it. I want to say that I've had many conversations with Public Works recently. They are constantly making changes, and I hope today from Public Works we're going to hear about something they tried today, I believe, with some signals and so on. So would you please step up here and tell us what's going on with Burger Island? And then we'll open up for public comment, and then, okay, the same program we did before. Okay, thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Mary Tony Maravilla, Senior Transportation Planner for the Public Works Agency, and I'm here to provide an update on Norbridge Avenue, Strobridge Avenue intersection project. This area, bounded by Castro Valley Boulevard, Strobridge Avenue, Norbridge Avenue, and the Interstate 580 off-ramp, has been known to experience significant congestion. Traffic circulation studies were conducted to investigate what improvements could be made. The current configuration implemented was the preferred alternative resulting from these studies. This alternative aimed to improve local circulation, improve overall capacity through the area, and improve regional access by providing alternate routes for local traffic. This new configuration has also introduced new through and turning movements, and we do recognize that these changes are currently compounding the existing traffic challenges in the area. Attached to the agenda was a brief summary that discussed the implemented changes to the lane configurations, the different elements influencing the traffic patterns, the operational challenges that we face in the area, both existing and new, the signal timing implementation issues, and how the Public Works Agency is addressing this issue. We are currently working with our traffic consultant to analyze the new traffic patterns and develop an optimal signal timing plan. And because these changes involve complex traffic patterns and signal operations, it may take several iterations to achieve optimal results. We have been trying to make some changes. There were some adjustments to the weekday timing that were done last week, I believe Friday morning, and it looks like it's improved some things. We are still working on fine-tuning the weekend timing because we did observe that there was still some backup over the weekend. We will continue to monitor performance and make adjustments as necessary to achieve the project goals. We understand the traffic challenges can be difficult and inconvenient, and we sincerely appreciate the community's patience as we work diligently to make necessary adjustments and provide efficient travel to both residents, businesses, and emergency services in Castro Valley.
Okay, what I'm going to go ahead and do is open this up for public comment. If you'll just hang tight, I see you brought your staff with you, so maybe we'll get them up here to talk about it a little bit too. Don't hide, James. Okay, public comments. We have cards in the room.
I have Frank Ziegler, Brian Foster, Terry DeVore for.
Great. Why don't we take them in that order, but in between each one of you, I'm going to ask for someone that's at home online, okay? So, sir?
Frank Ziegler.
Yes.
Frank Ziegler, I'd just like to say that was a nice... Frank Ziegler, thank you for your letter that you read. I have lived here all my life. I know the area tremendously well. And no matter what you do on the timing, it's never going to work. And unless you guys really stand there and look at this, the problem is that as soon as three cars come down that street and somebody wants to go to Wendy's or McDonald's and they stop to go in there, they have countered all of your timing and nobody can move. And as soon as those people try to go into McDonald's or Wendy's, which has always been there, and are two of the most busiest fast food restaurants in Castro Valley, all of your traffic is backing up, no matter what timing you think you're going to change. That is your problem. That is the reason why when it was the other way around is the only way it worked. So no matter what you do, as soon as you have three cars lined up and nobody can turn into Wendy's and one person wants a cheeseburger, there goes... Three lights can wait until somebody can move and they can get in to get their cheeseburger. That's all I wanted to say. Until you change that out of there, you're never going to fix the problem.
Thank you. Do we have a speaker online?
Hi,
Hello.
Caller, you're on the line. You have 3 minutes, Michael.
Thanks. Hi, this is Michael Drain. I live in the area and go through that intersection daily, sometimes multiple times a day.
Can you speak up a little bit? We can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. Let me can you hear? Is this better?
Yes.
All right, thanks. Yeah, Michael Drain. I live in the area. I go through the intersection daily, sometimes multiple times a day. And first, just want to say I don't envy the team that had to work on this. That intersection is a mess. It's just so difficult with how many roads are coming together there. So it's hard. I agree with the last speaker. Just yesterday, I was in traffic just as the last speaker described. And I just don't see how adding more two-way lanes makes it better. I think the old configuration was better. I agree that right now there's no way timing is going to solve this. And I've just seen, it seems like it's just gotten worse. It was already a tough intersection, but it just seems like it's gotten worse. And everything in the report that talks about there's no room for queuing and all of that is right on. It's just impossible. So I'd love to see a return to the old configuration. Maybe something even more creative, like taking out the two-way in front of Wendy's and making it just a one-way and a clockwise or a counterclockwise. But that's maybe a little too crazy, but just something that restores the one-way and takes out the two-way that's creating even more backups and more lights. It just hasn't seemed like it's improved since that change, but thanks for the work on it. I know it's hard. I know it's a really difficult intersection.
Breaker.
Terry DeVore, I live on President Drive. So I enter into this maze by John's Drive. The biggest problem you have is you are not educating the people on how to enter into these intersections. All you have is a green light. We're always told green light, you can't turn left until the cars come forward. There are no left turning lights. There's no left turning arrows or whatever. Prior to the change, Stanton going south has a no turn on red. That's what needs to happen on the windy side of that intersection. The same thing is John's Drive. We need to be able to see it's okay to turn left. We hesitate. We get 5 cars per green light. And we get 2 people running the red light. And we sit in the intersection because the cars from Wendy's come out, turn right, and block the lane, waiting for us to go. We don't have a chance, period. So here's exactly what it's all written out. The other thing tonight coming here, I went to McDonald's through the drive-thru. I couldn't get out of the drive-thru because the car wanted to make a left-hand or right-hand turn in the center lane to go west on Castro Valley Boulevard. So not only have a problem going in to McDonald's or Burger King, you can't get out of it either anymore. So signage-wise, the people that designed it before knew what they were doing. The people now have failed us, failed the residents of Castro Valley. Thank you. I'll give you a
copy. Caller, you're on the line. You have 3 minutes. Mark. Caller, you're on the line. You have 3 minutes. Mark.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I understand what the gentleman just said about John Drive, and I don't have any experience with that. My issue has been Castro Valley Boulevard westbound. It's been backing up past, you know, before all this construction, it would back up to Lake Chabot at commute hour, but it's been beyond that, you know, all the way to Wisteria, Anita. I mean, it's just insane. People were driving through all the neighborhoods to get somewhere. And the reason it wasn't, you know, traffic wasn't going anywhere is the green light at John Drive, you know, just wouldn't stay green very long. And by the time it let traffic from Stanton on Castro Valley Boulevard westbound, you know, the whole intersection there was full already. So you would get like five cars per light rotation on Castro Valley Boulevard westbound. That's ridiculous. You've got hundreds of cars backed up waiting for that. I don't know who this traffic consultant is, and we'll figure out who that is later, but I would certainly like to make sure we never use this traffic consultant again, because, you know, we've been enduring this for weeks, months. There's no excuse for it. I went out there today at 5 o'clock and I sat there at Pee Wee Golf parking lot to see how it was going now, and they made some changes. It sounded like the planner from Public Works said they made some changes on Friday weekday to the weekday schedule. So today would have been the first full run on that. And there was no traffic backed up on Castro Valley Boulevard. So somebody finally figured out, hey, let's pay attention to the two lanes going westbound instead of all the side streets. So they had John Drive light green for over a minute. They had the light at Stanton Avenue green for over 30 seconds. And it completely emptied out all of the traffic that was backed up. So how this is affecting the side streets at this point, I don't know. But they finally fixed the boulevard situation. She said something about the weekend traffic. I don't know how that's worse than commute traffic, but, you know, maybe that still needs to be worked on. But, you know, the way they have it set it up tonight at 5 o'clock is an answer to our main traffic problem with people trying to get out of Castro Valley westbound. It was actually better than it was pre-construction. I mean, I sat there for like 20 minutes and watched several light rotations. So kudos for that. But it really shouldn't take a public hearing. It shouldn't take emails from me and Chuck and God knows who else to, you know, public works director to bring attention to this. I know Robert Souza, you know, had hundreds of comments on his post on Facebook over this. I mean, the people of Castro Valley deserve better. And like I said, we need to figure out who this traffic consultant is, because we need to make sure we never use them again. Thank you.
Dave Silva.
Good evening. My name's Dave Silva. I live off of Strobridge Avenue in Castro Valley. I see the problem as a little different than other people. As I'm coming into the boulevard from Strobridge Avenue, I have to make a right-hand turn lane. And the traffic from the boulevard and from John Drive pull into the intersection while it's green, and then they're stuck in the intersection. I cannot make a right-hand turn. Not only do I not want to make a right-hand turn, I want to make a right-hand turn and then turn left onto Stanton Avenue. I have cars behind me that are honking their horns wanting me to make the right-hand turn. I need to go across the intersection so I can get to Stanton Avenue. And that is causing a problem because of the issue where people are trying to beat the red light or the green light, and they're stuck in the intersection. And that is a major problem, and that needs to be fixed. And I wish the Highway Patrol was here to hear this, because she did not bring that up in her conversation. Yeah. Thank you.
Brian Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the council. First, I want to say it's been 54 days since the grand opening. 54 days, right? That we've been enduring what is what I consider to be a great travesty of, or an infliction of pain upon anyone trying to drive through this area. It's been horrible. By the goals that you set out, everything is an abject failure. Everything. Everything. If you look online, and I only know all I know about Nextdoor and Facebook, you'll find hundreds of stories of people telling the county what to do to fix it. I mean, some of the things are easy fixes, some of the things are not, but it's certainly eminently fixable. I mean, the first thing you need to do is increase east-west traffic, get rid of the no right turns, especially the ones with bulb outs, not only here, but also the ones you're now installing on Somerset and the ones you're planning to put onto Higher. You are choking off all of our access, period. You know, we have this pedestrian and bike commission. Maybe we need to have a drivers, parkers, and commuters commission too, because the vehicle drivers, which are 99% of us in terms of the traffic in the community, are not getting recognized. Everyone else gets priority except people trying to commute or travel or park. That's a problem that we have. So fix the problem. Whoever designed the huge triangle, that plaza, the cost of pouring all that concrete, impermeable concrete, all it does is create glare and prevent rainwater from draining into the ground. Who designed that? I mean, if you look at the plans, it looks like it's a small parklet, but it's concrete. Who in the right minds would even think of doing that? Don't ever hire those designers for anything. It's insane and stupid. So redesign what you've done. Stop what you're doing on Somerset. Don't do it on hire. Let us live. Thank you.
Kelly, approve.
Yeah, what I've heard today is that Castro Valley has a contrarian streak, mavericks that are very much want to go their own way and don't believe in what everybody else in the world is doing, at least everybody else in modern American cities are doing. One of the things, if you really prioritize traffic, you'd prioritize straight ahead traffic. You know, left turns and cross streets, low volume cross streets are anathema to traffic designers. You guys are pointing fingers at consultants. Why don't you look at the public works agency that hired the consultants? Because you can't blame consultants. They do what they're told, they do what they're paid for. The public works agency is responsible for everything that you see on the streets of Castro Valley. And your city here, so for example, a lot of these low volume cross streets like John Drive or whatever it is, just eliminate them. No cross traffic, no left turns, traffic straight ahead. That would eliminate a lot of your red lights on the and free up time on those traffic lights and all that. This is the most obvious thing in the world. Then another thing that Castro Valley does, you forget sometimes that you prioritize drive-throughs. You prioritize fast food restaurants. You love your drive-through windows and that Wendy's and that McDonald's. Those are you worship at the altar of hamburgers. You love to have those cars going into those places. So for you to come turn around and then say, oh, we don't like traffic going into Wendy's and McDonald's, that's crazy. You love those places, and we should shut down everything and let all the traffic go into Wendy's and McDonald's. And then, let's see, what else was about this thing? The bike lanes and things, you know. Castro Valley hates bike lanes. You want to get rid of all the bike lanes. I just spent a week in Portland, Oregon, and I was very impressed with their bike lanes. I think Castro Valley could do a lot if you could use more bike lanes. Just get rid of some of the cross traffic and just focus your attention on the public works agency and stop worrying about consultants and things. You know, look at the guy who's holding the puppet. Don't look at the puppet. Thank you.
I have no more speakers for this item.
Any other speakers in the room? Okay, no speakers online. I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion, and I will start at the end down here with Councilmember Davis.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation. I'm a traffic engineer, and one of our sayings is everyone with a driver's license is a traffic engineer. It's one of the few professions that everyone experiences on a daily basis, and they know the solution. And I know it's far more complex than that. I applaud the county for trying to address the changes. I've noticed the cameras they have up for data collection. I hope the consultant does a visual simulation over an extended time period as to actually see what timing changes they're proposing affects on real life. I think the study zone should go beyond Chabot Road, Lake Chabot, actually down to Anita at least, to be looking at the traffic issues there. But you're also, people have pointed out, there are points, locations where we can improve the signing or make restrictions to turning movements to make it flow a little better. And another key element to all of this is enforcement. We need to have the sheriffs and CHP making sure that people aren't stopping in the box and blocking traffic and that sort of thing. And I look forward to see what changes you will be implementing as a result of all these things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Faber.
Thank you. And thank you for coming tonight and presenting this. I know it must be difficult subject. You know, I'm in town every day. I live here. I'm down in that area regularly. And it is just a nightmare, no matter what street you're on. If you're on Castro Valley Boulevard, it's not Anita, it's San Miguel. Traffic starts at San Miguel all the way down to McDonald's. And if you're coming the other way from Hayward up Castro Valley Boulevard, I've never seen traffic that way, but now it's like way down several block lengths. You know, it's crazy. And then, you know, if you're coming down from like the Mesa Verde, someone talked about that big cement island. I don't know what that's doing there, but that blocked lanes. So now you have less traffic in there. I'm not a traffic control person or anything, but I think if you take lanes away, it's going to make more traffic. And it did. And, you know, that's a huge thing of cement. It must have been very, very expensive. But I think that could have been lanes and somehow could have eased the traffic. Because if you're coming down from Mesa Verde, it's a nightmare just to get out. If you're coming up to Mesa Verde, it's a nightmare to go through all those people turning into the, you know, Wendy's or McDonald's, people coming out, people blocked, you know, standing in parking in the middle of the intersection because they went through a yellow or a red light and they block everything. It's just a mess. I come down Castro Valley Boulevard from like Redwood Road area, and I get about halfway down there, and I'm like, oh yeah, all that traffic, I can see it from here, down by San Miguel. I'll turn around, go back to Redwood Road, go down Redwood Road, cut through Baywood, just to get over to the Mesa Verde area, because I don't want to spend 20, 25 minutes, you know, going half a dozen blocks. It is really a difficult place to drive. It's made it very uncomfortable for me, and I know many other people. The construction, I don't know why it took, I don't know how many months that took, but it took forever. And traffic was horrible during the whole construction period. I don't know why we couldn't have just did it in 60 days or 90 days. I don't know why it took, I don't know how many months, but a lot of months. So, you know, I'm not a traffic expert, and I didn't know that you were in the business, but
driver's license.
I have a driver's license, so I guess, you know, it's like the backseat driver. They know pretty, you know, they know all the things to tell the driver, but I don't know the solution, but it's not working. It's not working at all. And something needs to happen. So it's really good that you guys are here so you could hear this, and, you know, hopefully you can do whatever you guys do. That's your job. Figure out how to make this better for the community, because obviously there's a lot of people that have concern for it. That's all for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Devini.
Excuse me. Thank you for the presentation. And more importantly, thank you for the recognition that there's a problem in trying to alter things. I appreciate the fact that you had already made some changes late last week. Thank you to everybody in the room and the folks online. There's such good ideas that are coming out, way better than I can come up with. So I don't have any recommendations for you. This is way out of my league. I wish if we had a commission that there was an ad hoc group of some of these really smart people that could go throughout Castro Valley, because Castro Valley Boulevard, Redwood Road, Somerset, Higher, every major arterial road. I don't know the solutions. But I wish that we'd get a group of citizens that wanted to improve Castro Valley traffic. All of these meetings are recorded. If you didn't catch some of the names of the smart people that called in, listen to the meeting and see what you guys could do. I can't do it. Some of the people on the board certainly can. It's just a stranglehold on our daily life. So thank you.
Councilmember Mota.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. I just stay away from that area altogether. I went there one time and I got confused on even where to go. And so I didn't even go back. I take the freeway to get around. I just get on the freeway and I bypass that whole section. When my kids want McDonald's or Wendy's, I send my poor mom and she's like, oh my God, I don't know where to go. So I send my mom. That's how I'm like terrified to even go back there. And then I'm looking at all of these projects, implementation changes, and I'm like, okay, now I need to read this and then drive and then figure out where do I need to go based on these new things, right? So now I'm even more intimidated by the additional changes from what I've already experienced early on. So I just hope you guys get it together and figure it out. I mean, and then yeah, that's all I can add is my own personal experience, and then I think everyone shares the same sentiment of being kind of confused and driving in that area. That's all I have.
Councilmember Thomas.
Thank you. And thank you for being here. You know, I haven't heard one positive comment about this new improvement from, you know, people were talking about Facebook, all these social media stuff. Everybody's upset. And I know the one of the lines here says these new movements were introduced as part of a broader effort to create an alternative route for local traffic and improved overall circulation. Just nothing has improved. Nothing has improved. Our overall circulation has got worse. Efficiency in the area, there's nothing efficient about this. So when you make a change in such a like a Burger Island, the traffic was bad there anyways in the first place. So when you make a change like that, you got to make sure like 200% that it's going to help the people in Cache Valley. If it doesn't, then you got to go back to the old way. Something was working before. So this is not working because all I hear is complaints. And I'm sorry I'm putting it that way, but it's just we are Cache Valley. We love Cache Valley, and we only have a Cache Valley Boulevard. We have burgers there, and I love my burgers, okay? But it has to make sense. The traffic has to flow. And, you know, like you said, it has to improve. Otherwise, go back to the old way. Thank you.
Vice Chair Mulgrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Maratoni. Two things are plain. As the project opened to the public, it didn't work. And second thing is that Public Works has acknowledged a problem and is taking steps to make things better, and that's appreciated. I think, you know, a caller said Castro Valley deserves better. I agree with that 100%. And to that end, I think this council should see data from the traffic study that's in process sooner rather than later. And I think the community needs to be given that information as well. Like has been said, I have a driver's license, but nobody would call me a traffic engineer. In fact, the license is questionable, but no, just kidding. I really would like to see, you know, before and after data. I mean, I'm certain that Public Works was tracking things as the project opened, and I'd like to see the information from that compared to the traffic after the change. This first round of changes have been made, which someone said seemed to be having a good impact. So I'm also concerned about that intersection when the proposed car wash goes in there and 360 trips a day are planned. And I'd like to know that that's being thought about as we're doing things. That's all I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. I know that this is probably going to be a hot seat for you. They'll even show up when I spoke to Public Works on, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, and said, hey, we really need you to come and get in front of the community here. This is a pretty important road. It's a gateway to our community. We already struggle with parking, and now we're struggling with parking on the road because cars are not moving. I don't know what it would take, but is there any way that somebody from Public Works could be on site for the next week every day and just take some notes and come back with a consultant? You know, somebody said earlier about consultants. You know, they often say, I'll stand by the drinking fountain and listen to everybody, and that's what I'll come back with your plan. You know, I don't want to say they're quite like that, but I really believe that hands-on eyes in the place would be very helpful. I mean, if you had a public works person standing out there in an orange vest and a hat on and said, I'm here to try to solve this problem, I think it would go a long ways in the community. At least they know that the problem was being addressed. I think there was a fear that things were being ignored and just letting it go. And I know that our public works department's not like that. I happen to have worked with several of the folks in the past, and I hate to see you get a black eye for not paying attention. And we need to pay better attention. So if there's something you guys or your group could do as far as being on site, making some notes, and then maybe coming back to this council with the changes. I'm a firm believer in results. You know, don't confuse effort with results. And so we need to get away from the effort and get down to the bottom of results. This is our gateway to our community, probably the most important intersection in our community. And we need it to be addressed in that manner. So is that something that we can count on you guys doing?
That has actually started, and that was part of why changes were made. We have had our consultant out there observing. James is out there a lot. I go through there every day just to see what happens, what's happening out there. Several other staff members have driven through there and have been giving us their feedback internally, so we are aware. But the traffic consultants have been out there observing and making the tweaks, and that's why you're able to see some improvement, but they're not done yet. So.
No, we appreciate the effort, and I understand talking to your director that you guys were making some changes in the consultant, and the timing of the lights and things like that. I just hope somebody's out there measuring the results of those changes so that we can get it done quicker. And, you know, two kinds of people in the Old West, that's the quick and the dead. So let's get it done.
Yep. Part okay. of it was they wanted to wait until school started to get a more accurate, to get a more accurate count of what, like the worst case scenario of when there's school traffic. So.
Yeah, we're not traffic engineers. We're just results people. So we're just going to kind of hold you accountable for coming up with some results on this. Even of our land use meeting, we have public comment prior to, and again, if it's not on the agenda, anybody in this room is more than welcome to come to our land use meeting and speak to that item if it's not improving. And we can get back to you, because I know that your group wants to improve it. You got a great group of people that I've worked with in the past. We just need to pay a lot better attention to it and see if we can't get it resolved a lot faster. If that's, you know, and I'm sure we can get it done. Now, if not, let's go back to what we had before. I mean, you know. So anyway, any other comments from the council? Okay. Thank you for coming. Yes. Yes. Yes, I will reach out to the director and see if we can't get him back. Matter of fact, is he online? I know he's back east somewhere because I was trying to get him here tonight. And he was 3 hours from now, so he's probably, no. So, yeah, he's at a conference or something. Okay, we'll share with, this is not ended, okay? Let's just say that. So anyway, thank you for coming. James and the group, thank you guys for coming up. So I am going to close this portion of this item. And let's see, let's go on to the chair's report and the council comments. Let's go to council comments. We have any council comments? I think we have a fall festival coming up here?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't that something like September?
September 7th.
September 7th, we have a fall festival. Okay. Great. Let's not forget about it. It'd be nice to all be here.
Whose night is this Saturday?
Whose night?
Yeah, August 23rd.
Unmuffled cars and everything okay? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, cruise nights, I guess, is coming up this Saturday. I hope people that want to cruise can get out and cruise. And do we have any staff reports? Tona, you're on the line.
Nothing for me, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming, and meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.